Hello, this is Wendy's Coffee House. I'm Wendy. I want to talk about something that happened recently, and I also posted about it on the blog. The title of that post, Subtle Influence, A Test of Presence, If Not My Thought, Who Goes There? And the blog is Talking to Nightlights, WordPress.
If you hear voices, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, this is a way to consider what it's like for people who do. I wanted to go into a personal experience, and it relates to consciousness being like a giant bowl of soup. I have a very specific experience that will give you an idea of what it might be like when you hear a voice and you're able to identify it is not your voice. This is part of my normal experience, even though this was an oddity and not anticipated, completely unexpected. But the hearing voices part is part of what I experience as real and normal. And sometimes it can be an out loud voice, like it has happened when I needed protection and was told to run. The voice was out loud right beside me. The person who was with me didn't hear it. I believe it's on a different dimension. I am able to hear it because I'm connected to that realm in that moment. It's my reality. And some of that happens in a way that we call it imagination, but I think there is a difference. And so, you know, as our science evolves and as we learn more about consciousness and what our abilities are, that might change the language that we use to convey these kinds of events. Somebody posted a response to the blog saying that, you know, 100 years ago, you might have been classified a witch. And I think that's such a sad, sad statement because we lost so many opportunities to learn more about these abilities that are part of our own natural awareness. And we lost opportunities to learn and explore and expand and integrate that knowing by doing exactly what happened, eradicating that element or as much as possible, making sure that element had no voice. And the indigenous cultures have had to put up with this kind of eradication. And it isn't popular to say, I hear voices, or I talk to plants, or animals have feelings. They are just like us. The studies that they've done, research with octopus, suggests that they are highly intelligent and that they do dream just like us. When Jane Goodall was researching monkeys, it was obvious to her that they have feelings and emotions like humans. And before that time, she was taught not to anthropomorphize, whatever, the animals, because of course they're lower intelligence and they aren't anything like us. And you're talking just a few decades from that taught belief that this is the way we treat animals. And then we're realizing that animals do have awareness. They do have an identity, a self-identity. You put an elephant in front of the mirror and it recognizes itself. And there's so much to be said about how little we are in tune with our cohabitants on this planet. Okay, that brings me to voices. And my own experience with this is that my voices have been helpful. My other experience is places I have visited, I have heard voices that are not helpful, and depending on who's hearing them, can be extremely dangerous. In one instance, I heard a voice from my awareness. I heard a voice say, drive off the road and put him out of his misery, referring to one of the occupants of the car. And at that point, I thought, okay, this area apparently has active elements that are contrary and are negative and trying to create turmoil of some kind. And there are some people who live in houses with those kinds of entities and those voices, and they hear them. And my father had schizophrenia. He was actually hospitalized and diagnosed and the whole nine yards and given medication. The problem is he didn't stay on the medication. And after his death, I spoke with him. And this has happened before, so it wasn't the first time I've spoken to somebody who's deceased. But he made a point to say, and he gave me information for my mother and just relating to our life and all this background information that made it relevant. And but he did say about the schizophrenia, it was something that he couldn't block the voices. His language, he said, I didn't have a filter. I couldn't keep them from talking, bothering me. And not only that, at that time, he wouldn't have had a support system. Anyone who would have said, this is okay, you know, just let's see how we can deal with this. It would have been meds. And the kind of meds that they gave were knockout drugs. He was given a medication that, what he said, it made him like a zombie. And the problem was that they could also, the voices would attack and hound and pound and pound to get through to him, even though he was like a zombie. So for people to see him be okay and be able to function some of the time with the medication, there were other times with the medication that it wasn't going to make any difference. And the thing is, our biology. We aren't always 24/7 the same mood, the same physiology with our you know, when people have mood swings, it's because there's too much sugar or something else biological has happened that time of the month, all that good stuff that keeps us from being able to be regular. And so that's what happened when he was on the meds, that sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. And most of the time it was, for him, incredibly, incredibly stifling and uncomfortable and unpleasant. And it was for his life. He did not stay on the drugs. And my way of compensating for that, I knew that I'd be able to spend minimal amounts of time with him before it would be like a light switch. And all of a sudden I would remind him of something and then he would be a different person. So I made sure that when I did have contact, it was in very short amounts of time so that I could remember my dad in ways that were positive and not the negative memories I had from childhood. There's so many issues with mental health that we have yet to reconcile. And one of them has to do with schizophrenia. And one of the people who has done a show with Empower Radio, used to be Empower Radio, it's now gone on to a different company. But David Franklin Farkas, he told me that he worked in a psych ward, and this was the overnight shift, and he saw this person standing in the corner, and the person responded to him, "Well, you can see me." Oh, well, he was the one the schizophrenic saw, but the doctors couldn't see this being standing in the corner. And so there was another angle. Patients are being told, this is fiction, this is your imagination, this isn't reality. And yet David, who didn't have to be hospitalized, is part psychic and intuitive and all that, could see what the patients could see. There's another instance with a friend of mine who was a friend with a young man who was also schizophrenic. His issue was going to the boats, the gambling boats, and seeing people with tentacles coming out of their head and little beings attached to their shoulders. And so when they would go visit the boats, for him, it was very difficult to mask and separate that from the people that he saw, because what he saw was extremely unpleasant. And so with that reality, it gives you a different perspective on what other people around you may or may not be able to see, and how you, even though it looks like the environment is clear, there might be some other entities out here. And instead of acknowledging that that's also a part of our reality, it's been the practice to say that is unreal. It doesn't exist. It's your imagination. And that's where we lose out on a lot of potential protection elements that we could be able to incorporate, such as don't go in that space. If you go into that space where the other entities are active, you might have some issues and that won't be positive. Again, my voices that I hear, my guides, are positive. The way I know that they have my best interest at heart is because all of the information is about self-improvement. The information is about how can I be helpful? How can I be of service? None of the information is about harm, hurting, about taking advantage of somebody else. All of that is a negative element. There's a power play that comes in when you're dealing with a negative entity. You're encouraged to be your worst possible, whatever it is, whatever it is that makes you be less than you are, then that's what they play on. So if you're insecure, if you're unhappy, if you're depressed, if you have other issues emotionally, then you're vulnerable, because these entities feed on that kind of that energy for them. They don't see it as bad, good. They just see it as food. That is a challenge to be able to bring this language into this and explain how, at least how I believe a way that it can make sense or be accessible. So the blog I wrote had to do with, and it's subtle influence, a test of presence, if not my thought, who goes there? I tried to bring some of these elements to surface so I could explain it. We were coming back from the park. We stopped at a gas station. And as we drive into the gas station, it's hot. And I have this thought, well, it would be nice to leave the car running while we got gas because it's so hot, you know, for the dogs. Well, okay, technically, that isn't something I would think because I know better. In my own experience, my mind, my belief system, I see fires. I see explosions. I see people dying. Don't leave the car running while you're getting gas. So that thought for me was, what? Oh, no, 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 that's not okay. So the thought comes in and I counter it with my, you know, my big, big pictures of explosions and fires and no, that's not happening. And so it was like a brief, fleeting thought. And then my husband says, okay, I'll leave the car running while I'm getting gas so the dogs will, the AC will be on. Okay, and I'm paraphrasing our conversation, but that was immediate. And I'm like, holy cow, it's out loud. Wait a second. And no, no, we don't need the car on. That's fine. And this is also unusual because he has worked with cars in his entire life. He loves classic cars. He's excellent at mechanical skills and can replace brakes the whole nine yards. So, and he's also worked in his past history working, helping a department that had to facilitate the recovery and restoration of vehicles to keep them on the road. So getting gas while you leave the vehicle running is a no-no, period. And yet this is what he asked me. So, okay, I ask when he gets back in the car, have you ever done that before? Leave the car running while you get gas? No, no, I thought you wanted the car running for the dogs. And it just came in and I thought that. Okay, that told me one of two things. He heard the same thing I heard, or he picked up on my response to that, knowing from his perspective, he wasn't seeing me push back. He was seeing the thought of what it was of leave the car running. That was the louder thought for him to pick up. So that gave me a clue that something else, there was another presence, there was a telepathic interference suggestion of do this just to see, you know, what would we do? And because I was conscious of, no, that isn't my behavior, I blocked it. And my problem was that he picked up on it, and then I am not certain if he would have heard that if I hadn't been there. Sometimes when we are in a space with somebody else who has abilities, we can pick up on their abilities. We resonate. And that's what consciousness is about. Sometimes there is a common plane and we are able to pick up the frequency, the vibration, whatever it is that makes that work, where we can pick up on somebody else's thoughts, or we can pick up on that third thought because the person with us is an amplifier. And I've seen that or felt that and heard that discussed. There was a person that I was asked about the house, went to visit the house because the woman, her child sat on her lap. The only time, at least in the time that we had our conversation, that she had experienced this, her child was autistic and sat on the lap. And as the child was sitting on the lap, she saw a portal open through the front door. And the child was having an interaction upstairs with another being, child, entity, coming in and playing in the room with the child. So that was why I was there. So the coming through that door was this kind of a conga line. And they're all dressed in period clothes from the 20s or 30s. And they're just kind of going through the dining room. The person in front is carrying a tray and go around the table. And then they just, you know, disappear. That was the first time, and only time that I know of, that she was able to see that kind of activity, these ghosts coming in, doing a conga line, and back out, because her child, who saw these things but didn't have a way to articulate it, just that they were observing from the child's behavior, that there were interactions that they couldn't explain. at that point, because she was in the same field, the same energy field, then she was able to see that what her child was experiencing was real and real to the child. And all of the rest of us didn't have a clue because we weren't on that same wavelength. So, however, as a sensitive, a psychic, or somebody who is intuitive, sometimes those things will be present without an amplifier. Trying to explain to people how it works and how, yes, this was real for me and I knew it was not my thought because I don't believe it's okay to do that in the first place. But if it were something that I might be more open to, then that thought, that prompt, that suggestion might have been taken to heart before I realized it came from another source. So as the temperatures heat up, as global climate change becomes more present 24/7 in our awareness and our terminology and our news reports and our belief system that, yes, this is an issue, it isn't going away, and these are going to be some of the things that happen. Because some of the suggestions, some of the prompts, some of this telepathic interference from the other entities around us with whom we coexist, we're going to be more receptive to. And if you are on a short fuse for whatever reason, if that's, you know, par for the course, or if that's because of a bad experience or something negative going on that day, these are the kinds of things that could make it even more complicated. Talking about this, what is still a problem is trying to articulate that this kind of thing is possible and to explain how it can happen and be so innocuous and so under the radar that it isn't perceived as an influence or as an interruption. It is not acknowledged as something that is influencing us without our knowing. So it's easy to talk about the ETs. It's easy to talk about the ghosts. It's easy to talk about all of that. But this other element of transdimensionals, of interdimensionals, of thought forms that exist is really difficult to articulate.
A quick break. I started noticing this year that I have EVPs on some of my shows. One was very, very blatant. It was just me and the word was Nightlights. The others involve people who were guests on the show, and I wanted to have it corroborated, so I asked Tom Butler for his opinion, and he gave it to me. And with his background, he has a very good sense of what might be considered an EVP. These things do happen, and sometimes, like me, I have no idea how long this has been going on. I just became aware of it recently and started tracking it. I'll get back to voices, but I'm going to digress for a bit. Portals. Recently, I had some guidance on portals, and then synchronistically, I saw a video. Margie Kay, I've interviewed her before. She's a MUFON investigator, a psychic, a long list of talents, remote viewer. Anyway, she is working on a case that involves a portal, and this woman's house that they're investigating has a portal right there at the side of the porch. So they show it on camera, and you actually see them interact with the portal.
Artie Six Killer Clark talks about the portal. Tom is the one who mentions that. The fact that he went from one area to the other and went out. Okay, what I have been told and instructed is if you go into a portal, don't count on being able to come right back out. For one thing, it's a different dimension. And there, unless you have an escort who knows their way, one doesn't consider that it's a guarantee that you'll come right back out, okay? So for me, the the instruction was, don't go in. Just don't go in. The other thing about a portal is very close to the perimeter, the immediate area around a portal, that environment is unstable. On the video that Margie Kay has provided, it is obvious that there is an interference and directly around the portal. And this is what happens when the UFOs come in. There are pictures of these clouds, of this change in the dynamic of the energy around a UFO or another anomalous being. And in this case, they have a hand coming out of the portal. When that hand comes out of the portal, you see it along the screen. You just see this hand for a brief moment. There's a hand, and they all talk about seeing the hand out of that portal later on, or I don't know the exact timing of all this. They stick their hand into the portal and they're standing right there where there's that shift between our dimension and that dimension of the portal. And they put their arm, their hand, and you see on the screen, the hand disappears or becomes fuzzy, or at one point it's kind of squiggly, which, you know, means that that energy shift is complete because that hand does not look like it does in our dimension. But it's very helpful because it's difficult to describe how this works or to be able to see it and to know that, well, when the footprints disappear from the Bigfoot or the footprints disappear from some other being that we can't identify because it doesn't exist in our realm, they have a portal. And the Native American, the indigenous cultures speak to these things. As a matter of fact, when it comes to shamanism, hearing voices is not considered a crazy house event. Okay? It is actually considered, if you hear voices, it's considered something that might indicate you are able to be a shaman. I like the chat GPT. Okay? And I like the AI for Bing. So I looked it up. Shamanism. Term that refers to various spiritual practices of indigenous communities around the world, where some individuals, called shamans, use ritual techniques to enter altered states of consciousness and communicate with spirits or ancestors. Okay, you don't have to be a shaman to be able to do that, because people who are intuitive, psychic, channels, that kind of thing, are able to do that as well. That doesn't talk about proficiency, it just talks about being able to accomplish that. Hearing voices or seeing visions is considered a positive and desirable experience and can indicate a calling to become a shaman or a way of gaining wisdom and healing power from the spirit world. And yes, it does work. When I was bit by a brown recluse, I meditated to understand what might help me. You get real sick, or at least it's kind of a flu-like thing, because that toxin is in your system and it's causing necrosis, which means the cells are being eaten, broken down for food by the baby spider that has been planted in you. I didn't know that until after I explained to somebody the vision I had. I was in the room with a giant Harry Potter-sized spider, ginormous spider, and I'm standing there with a white, about the size of a basketball, and it's a white ball. I have it in my hands, and I'm handing it to the spider. And I said, you know, this is yours. This is yours. And so I hand it to the spider. And then the guides who are present during this meditation asked me, why did I do that? Why did you give that to the spider? And I said, because it wasn't mine. It didn't belong to me. I also got instructions, shamanic instructions, on what to do to help my body combat this toxin, this poison that was in my system. It was personal and it was effective. I found out later that when the brown recluse does a bite, the female brown recluse is laying an egg. And what I was told as a result of, from my guides, not doing anything except giving the spider back the basketball egg, that I would have no further problems with spiders. In other words, I didn't have a quarrel. I wasn't angry. I didn't hate the spider because of what happened. I was in the wrong place at the right time for the spider to find an opportunity. So, but that was really a powerful, powerful experience. That's shamanism, okay? That's being able to go into a different realm and speak with the entities or being and get helpful information and bring it back and apply it. Again, going back to this, the blog, and talking about how those voices, that voice was foreign and I could identify it, that it didn't belong. And Andy heard it too, because then he was going to act on the information. That's important for us to know. Because these entities, these beings, these elementals, they're different words in different cultures for this type of experience. Aliens, that all factors in. And right now, people are trying to say, well, it's all a part of consciousness, so everything, you know, it's like an open playing field. I think we're still trying to determine what the case is with that. And I do believe there are separate entities. Yes, we are connected. Yes, we can, our experiences intersect, but I don't believe just because we are connected at a conscious level that we're all the same. I believe we have different abilities, I believe we have different purposes. I believe different life goals, different things that we bring to the equation. And the way that we improve and evolve is to find out what we do best, what is for our highest good, and work to bring that up another level. And as we do that, everyone benefits. And there's even with the experiments and the research on neurobiology, brain consciousness research, to see what we do. There's some information about water and how water, I'll put a link to this. Water, even if you take out whatever was in the water, whether it's a metal of some kind, and you remove it from the water still has that imprint. The water has memory, and the water is able to retain that information even when it's not there. Well, that speaks to the human form being liquid, having water, and retaining information, the ability to retain information even though it isn't there.
The butterfly, they've done studies, research on butterflies. They actually are able to retain information from the time when the butterfly was a caterpillar. So all that muck, goo, whatever that reconstitutes itself from being a caterpillar into a butterfly, there's memory. More science and more dots to connect. And we go forward.
We engage that with which we resonate. Sometimes it's necessary for us to engage a lower frequency. If we're trying to help, then we have to engage a lower frequency. That's like a negative entity. Okay, something that's stirring the pot and going in and making a connection and saying, what is wrong in this space? Do you need help? Sometimes they do. And sometimes it isn't even about being a bad element. It's about needing somebody to pay attention and say, here, you can move on. Otherwise, they're stuck and they don't know how to go forward. And that's why they're stuck. So you can go in and you can help release that, alleviate that, and then they move on. It's not a matter of wanting to be there in the first place. Okay, well, so you're tuning into that. And other times, it's being able to engage a vibration, a higher element, a helping being who says you don't need to go this direction, take a left turn. You know, don't go straight, take a left turn. So you're in the right space to be given a detour and a prevention from having an accident or an encounter that would be very life-threatening, just to put it mildly. So the thing is, if you do experience the contrary entities, and that's what I prefer to call them, you know, contrarians, entities that don't have your best interests at heart, but they're also teaching you a lesson. If you are being told to do something negative that will be harmful to others or yourself, that entity isn't helping you. And it would be helpful to find someone, if you can't clear the entity or shut it down, to find someone to assist you, to help remove that from your space. One of the easiest ways is to stop listening. But again, my father, who dealt with the schizophrenia element, said he didn't have a filter, so he couldn't block them. So that isn't what I'm here to tell you how to do. I'm just here to say, this is present. This is here. Be aware and pay attention. Because the best thing you can do is maintain full presence of your awareness. When we zone out, and when we're comfortable, when we're relaxed, when we're not anticipating anything funky going on in our environment, like when we pulled into the gas station, we've been to a walk in the park, having a good time, everybody's in a good mood, the dogs are fine, they're quiet in the back seat, yay. Well, mostly quiet. Yeah, they're having a good time. Then there was this foreign element that snuck in. And so it happens. But being able to give me something that I could articulate and explain, look, this is an example of how this works. I am thankful that that happened. Also thankful that we did not leave the car running while he got gas. Not going to happen. I'll keep this short and sweet, but I did want to just address this. I tried to do it in the blog, but I wasn't able to add everything else. So on that blog, the synchronistic alignment, as I was trying to find something else, you know, thinking about this and blogging about it, I put it on hold for overnight. The next day, I tuned into Grant Cameron, who was interviewing Kathleen Kovalt. And she has a wonderful, wonderful webpage with lots of information dealing with all the stuff we're talking about. And she's also talking about the rainbow body. Okay, I'm not going to go into that. That's a whole different subject. But on her webpage, because I was looking, I thought, well, I want to link this because this is a good conversation. I'll also go back and connect on a different blog. I'll connect Margie Kay's information with her video because I think it's helpful to visualize, to see what that portal looks like, to watch them put their hand into it and see the environment around it, the atmosphere change as they do that. And know also there was a hand coming out. So the next time you stick your hand in a portal, don't assume that thing is empty. Don't assume you're the only one there. There's something always on the other side. We are just learning this kind of stuff. And that's why there's a respect that goes into this and a way of saying, go slow, go slow. Do your homework. Take it easy. Get backup. So if they're going to do that again, if that happens again, I hope they use a tether. And then again, it's a different environment. So I don't even know, being a material form, if that tether will hold its shape and, you know, stay a material, physical, manifest form in that environment. That's a question. So I'm not going to do the research. I'm going to listen to my guides. They said, no, don't do that. Stay away. When I see that the atmosphere changes outside that portal, and that isn't something they're able to really contemplate or see unless they go back and see it on the camera. I'm not sure if they can feel it. I'm sure there's a charge that lets them know, a static or something, as they're getting close to it, that they might not have even considered that as another element. But so anyway, I'll be following along as they research this. I put the link for Kathleen, and on her webpage, this is what's interesting. This is the synchronicity stuff, how we are all connected at a different level. The night before, we had gone to a local, the little garden thing that they have out in the neighborhood, you know, where you've got all the tents and everything. It was a fun event the night before. And on the way back home, we heard a rooster crow. We don't have any roosters in our neighborhood. There weren't any at, which I thought they might have been down there, but they weren't there. But the rooster crowed. Okay, well, that's interesting. My husband and I, we both heard it. Yay, that helps. We're on the same wavelength. So as I look at her website, she has a chicken. She's holding her chicken. I don't remember her giving the name for her chicken, but I thought, okay, that's great. I've had a friend, the next door neighbor had a chicken at one point. Her name was Ruby. She was adorable. Ruby had a bad ending, but we're not going to go into that. Anyway, yeah. In other words, keep your chickens safe because predators are in the city just like they are in the country, and they are looking for opportunities. But that was my validation of, okay, right on the right track with this. And so that I posted that. And then the other thing, there's a part in there where you see the orbs, and it's a very clear experience of the orbs. And my guides have appeared to me when I ask at the very beginning, you know, what do you look like? Can you give me, and we don't have a form. Okay. Can you give me some kind of indication what you look like? They gave me, and it's like a dinner plate size, two orangish red orbs, dinner plate size. And that was what they said that I could see with my eyes. Otherwise, they don't have a form. So these things are our way of learning about our own abilities, our own conscious connection to those beings of all types, seen and unseen, around us. The first of the seven hermetic principles asserts all is mind. The universe is mental. And how I integrate that, the universe is information. So there you go. There's the Matrix, Philip K. Dick. The Matrix, the universe is information. We're pulling information to the best of our ability at whatever level we are in the present moment. We may have access to a time before and a time after. In other words, future and past, because that happens as well. That's what makes this so fascinating and so fun to experience, knowing these things are happening all the time. And if we zone out and get caught up in somebody else's drama, we miss it, and it's right in front of us. That's it for right now. I just wanted to get that out there and get the idea, the concept, that we are not alone. And when we do pick up on thoughts that somehow don't seem to belong to us, then question, what's going on in this space? What's going on around me? Who else might be thinking this thought? The blog post I mentioned, is at Talking to Night Lights on WordPress. And I'll include some information, some links from what I've talked about during this little conversation. You might have different philosophies, but I appreciate you considering my information. We're all learning, and there's so much more to know. Thanks for listening.